first reading is from page 54 of the Old Testament section of the Church Bible. It begins at the second chapter of Exodus, beginning to read at verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. This must be one of the Hebrews' children, she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and saw their forced labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his kinsfolk. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, he saw two Hebrews fighting, and he said to the one who was in the wrong, "Why did you strike your fellow Hebrew?" He answered, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh. He settled in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. The priest of Midian had 7 daughters. They came to draw water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. But some shepherds came and drove them away. Moses got up and came to their defense and watered their flock. When they returned to their father Reuel, he said, "How is it that you have come back so soon today?" They said, "An Egyptian helped us against the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Where is he? Why did you leave the man? Invite him to break bread." So Moses agreed to stay with the man, and he gave Moses his daughter Zipporah in marriage. She bore a son, and he named him Gershom, for he said, "I have been an alien resident in a foreign land." After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Out of the slavery, their cry for help rose up to God. God heard them groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the Israelites, and God took notice of them. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you, Peter. A whistle-stop tour there, cheerful songs.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you. John chapter 1, verses 29 to 34, this can be found on page 94 of the Church Bible. The next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, please open our hearts and minds to the truth of your word this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please sit. The rescue, the rescuer, and the rescuing God. Truth can be stranger than fiction. Who would have thought that Pharaoh's evil plan to bring about the genocide of God's people would be thwarted by Pharaoh's very own daughter? Their rescuer would be brought up in Pharaoh's own household under his very nose. God had turned the tables before, of course, and used Joseph, an Israelite, the great-grandson of Abraham, to rescue his people from famine by bringing them to Egypt 400 years earlier. That was 30 generations ago, and Joseph was long since forgotten by the successive pharaohs. But when they had arrived in Egypt all those years ago, they had settled in a fertile region of the northeast Nile Delta called Goshen, and continued to be shepherds. When the famine was over after 7 years, it was too comfortable to leave and return to their Judean hills, and so they had stayed and multiplied, and multiplied. Gradually, due to their relatively high fertility rate, their numbers grew, and the Egyptians became afraid that they would be outnumbered. And they dragged them south away from their sheep, forcing them into slavery, making bricks for the big cities that were springing up. They were mercilessly worked to the point of exhaustion, as Pharaoh hoped that this lifestyle would act as a kind of birth control. But it didn't work. They continued to multiply, and so his next strategy was to murder their baby boys. We continue this morning from Exodus with the story of Moses' birth and how he escaped the genocide that Pharaoh had planned for the Hebrew-speaking slaves by being plucked out of the Crocodile River Nile by the princess, Pharaoh's daughter. As she went to bathe in the river, she found the three-month-old baby in the little basket his mother had placed him in. Verse 6 tells us that he was crying and she felt sorry for him. Even more remarkable was that his sister Miriam, who had been standing by watching, was able to fetch his own mother to nurse him and take care of him, and even be paid for doing it. His adoption as the son of this compassionate princess gave him powerful protection from her father and the best education available in Egypt. This made him far better educated than any of the Hebrew slaves and enabled him to write the first 5 books of the Bible. His time as an Egyptian prince came to an abrupt end, however,
When he lost his temper with one of the Egyptian slave drivers who was abusing a slave, Moses killed him, and then he had to flee for his life. Moses had identified with the Israelites as his people, and he wanted to protect them, but he was misunderstood by those who did not want a killer prince as a leader, as we're reminded in Acts 7. Moses was by then 40 years of age and spent the next 40 years tending sheep in Midian, the very wilderness to which he would return to live with his people when they had been rescued from slavery in Egypt. We can learn three important things about faith at this point in the life of Moses. According to Hebrews 11:1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The hallmarks of a growing faith are, according to the Christian commentator Alec Motyer, whom some of us might remember from his time as principal of Trinity College. These three hallmarks are: one, trusting in a good God who is always on the side of those who love him to work his purposes out in our lives. From Romans 8:28. Secondly, expectant that God will keep his promises. And thirdly, patient in believing that God's timing will be perfect. Faith then should be trusting, expectant, and patient. Moses survived and spent the next 40 years as a shepherd, husband, and father of two boys, learning how to acquire faith that has these qualities. God, in the meanwhile, is getting on with his covenantal plan now that the 400 years are up and the Israelites are crying to him for help. Verse 25 tells us he is concerned about them. He had told Abraham that his descendants would be in a foreign land for 400 years and reassured Jacob that the family need not fear going to Egypt because he, the Lord, was going with them and would one day bring them back to the land of Canaan. Why was it to be 400 years? Because it would serve a double purpose. One, it gave enough time for the Amorites who lived in Canaan to turn to God and stop their wickedness. And if they didn't, secondly, the Israelites would be in sufficient numbers to take over their land. This was why Joseph on his deathbed had told them that his bones must return with them on the day they would leave Egypt. We see from the life of Moses that there was no quick and easy way out of the predicament that the Israelites were in. God was going to act, but there was to be another lost generation during the 40 years before Moses was equipped and ready to be used as a leader. A leader who would be able to confront Pharaoh when he was 80 years old and rescued 2.5 million of his people out of Egypt and be their guide for the next 40 years. I wonder how we feel about our age and expectations of what might be possible now that we are getting older. Hebrews 6:12 tells us that it is through faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God. Have the sufferings and hardships of this life worn you out and made you lose heart? Do you question whether you matter? Does God care? Perhaps, like me, you have been praying for the salvation of certain members of your family for many years. Let us trust that these prayers will one day be answered. Scripture tells us that God wants no one to perish. Plead with him, as in the story Jesus told of the persistent widow, who never gave up asking for justice against her adversary. The judge grew so fed up with her constant pleading that he gave in and granted her request. In this parable in Luke 18, Jesus was making the point that we should always pray and never give up. During World War II, Britain had a steadfast leader in Prime Minister Winston Churchill. Several days of national repentance and prayer were called for by King George VI throughout the war. One such prayer day occurred on Sunday, the 26th of May, 1940, and resulted in 335,000 troops rescued from the beaches of Dunkirk a few days later. Winston Churchill told the nation that he believed this to be a miracle of deliverance, an answer to prayer. Back in Egypt, Exodus 2 verse 23 says that the Israelites groaned in their slavery, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. Repeating the word slavery is significant because it is this need which gave rise to their desperate prayer. Prayer is our opportunity to bring our needs before God and be specific in our request. Jesus, the Lamb of God, commands us to pray because he is ready to answer our prayer with the help we need. We have to remember, though, that God works to his own time scale. In these days of instant coffee and instant gratification, it is easy, like me, to be impatient. But if we are to learn anything today from our look at Moses, who was exiled in the wilderness for 40 years, believing himself to be a failure, it is surely that we too mustn't give up on the promises of God. If we have faith as small as a mustard seed, then the Bible reminds us that it can grow into a huge tree. Trust and be expectant that God will answer your fervent prayer. God can do impossible things, and he delights to show us this. You cannot say to God that you are too old or too young. Moses began his leadership at the age of 80. And it's great news that Will Fairbairn, son of Sue and Steve, at the age of 30, has been appointed as the next vicar of Redland Green. Our own vicar is youthful. If God calls you, he will always equip you for what is needed at any age, albeit as a carer, a good neighbor, a generous giver, whatever it is. I'll close now with a reminder that there is a prayer team here at St. Mary's who will be very happy to pray with you, as Gemma already said. It can be a prayer for someone else or even a Thanksgiving prayer. It is always held in confidence. And there should be a team of two identifiable by their badges, willing and waiting to pray with you after this service, either, and the clergy also, either by the font or in the hall over a cup of coffee. So shall we briefly agree a prayer now? Dear Lord, help us to keep close to you, our Creator and greatest friend, who died on a cross and rose again to show us the way to eternal life. May our faith grow stronger as we offer you our prayers that are aligned with your good plans for our lives. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
Thank you, Angela. Let's stand now as we turn to the middle page in our order of service and affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God.